Renato, and I welcome all of you to our podcast. I'm here with Helen.
Hello.
Michelle.
Hi.
And Natalie.
Hey.
And I wanted to ask you guys a question. With the new Mulan movie coming out, I was wondering why so many people, no matter the age, would still go out of the house to watch it. I was generally thinking about how Disney movies, even after so many years, have such an impact on children and adolescents, respectively. How these movies grabbed our fascination, and why we are possibly still fascinated by them. So, does any one of you want to watch that movie coming out?
Yes, oh my god, I'm so hyped for that movie.
I'm probably not gonna watch it. Not only am I not interested in Disney movies in general, but also Disney as a corporation seems less than ethical.
Damn, Michelle, I'm so disappointed in you. What about you, Natalie? Don't let me down here.
Sorry to break your spirits again, but I kinda agree with Michelle here.
But why? Disney is wonderful. Don't you guys remember the good old days of singing along to the songs and dreamed about being part of this fantasy world? I'm sure one of you wanted to be a princess when you were younger. It's a staple of our childhood.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. Disney doesn't care about the actual stories anymore. They just keep producing the same soulless remakes and reboots because they make the most money.
And adding to that, they don't care about their viewers is clearly evidenced by them producing the same stories without updating them for modern times. For example, have any of you ever seen a gay Disney character? Well, at least one that isn't queer-coded or a villain at that?
I definitely agree with you on that. But in terms of representation, there are also many positive aspects. For instance, Disney princesses have in recent years been excellent role models for little kids. Look at Mulan, for example, who proves that a girl is just as capable as her male counterparts. But also the less obvious messages in those movies about safety and listening to your parents. Though in a dream, Alice from Alice in Wonderland wanders off from her sister and becomes lost and stuck in Wonderland, only wishing to go home. Pinocchio leaves his father and becomes lost and kidnapped, while Ariel from The Little Mermaid leaves the advice of her father and makes a deal with a dangerous witch, risking her life. Messages like this inform children to listen to advice given by their parents and to stay safe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've been talking about. They are becoming more serious with important topics like depression and isolation, and also anxiety as central parts of their movies.
That stems from the need to keep everything politically correct, though. And this political overcorrectness doesn't leave much room for actually dealing with these topics. They're just sanitizing those themes in order to pat themselves on the shoulder for being so progressive, without taking the risks attached.
And to connect to what I said about LGBT representation, they're not taking those risks as well. Disney includes minuscule scenes like LeFou from the new Beauty and the Beast movie Dancing with a Man to be hailed as the great representation while not actually doing anything, because they know genuine effort would lose them significant money. It's all about the money for the corporation. That's also why they keep doing those stupid remakes.
I don't think those remakes are that stupid. They show Disney is capable of using new technology and it gives a new generation of children the opportunity to experience those same great movies in the cinema again, but in a new light.
And also, if you think about it in comparison to the earlier times when animators had to keep up with cinema giants like Star Wars.
That's also a Disney property now, by the way.
I'm just saying, they are able to keep up with modern movies now. They're just updating the movies.
What do they have to keep up with? They're basically the whole market now. They already own 40% of the market with a rising tendency.
Oh, come on, but they are allowed to enjoy their success. You gotta keep in mind they were struggling for quite a bit when their founder, Walt Disney, passed away.
And most of their movies are real masterpieces. Just think about songs like Can You Feel the Love Tonight or Circle of Life.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse their actions. They're still a huge monopoly. It's quite hard to enjoy these songs and movies knowing that they overwork their employees and pay them less than stellar wages compared to the revenue they rake in every year.
And not only do they overwork their employees, but they also stifle their creativity. And this leads to creativity in general being affected negatively. Because people are going to consider movies that are different from what Disney does as strange or not good or just weird and not watchable. Because, as said, when a company owns that much of the market, what we are used to watching is going to change.
Would that be so bad if Disney became the standard? They convey great values to children.
I definitely agree. Almost all Disney movies focus on topics like family, friendship, love, solidarity, and female empowerment. Just think about the great message at the end of Frozen, about sisterly love and not needing a man to save you.
but you're overlooking all the small companies which do not have the resources to stand up to Disney and convey their messages. They also have important stories to tell.
Also, I think the actions Disney takes to appear supportive are performative at best and cruel at worst. For instance, queer-coded villains like Hades, who's literally flamboyant, or Scar, living from the shadows, and a droll that certainly imitates the fabulous gay man. Interestingly, Disney chose not to make him queer-coded in the Lion King remake, but that's neither here nor there. And I'm not even mentioning their rigid gender role enforcement here.
I think you're being a bit harsh here. Just look at the more recent stuff Disney has done. Like in Coco, where the main character, Miguel, is allowed to be vulnerable as a boy, and the expression of his emotions, like crying, is not mocked or belittled. It's just natural that Disney was conforming to the norms of the past times. They have made great strides in updating their movies to modern values.
And not only have they improved technologically and morally, but they also improved in terms of ethnic diversity. Princesses like Tiana, Mulan, Moana, Jasmine, and also Pocahontas, they have all been main characters in their own movies. Considering Song of the South, I'd say that's a great step forward.
What is Song of the South?
That's one of the classics Disney likes to keep locked away. It's an old movie from 1946, and it certainly reflects its time of origin. The story takes place on a farm in the South during an unspecified time period, but it definitely feels like it takes place on a plantation during slavery. But as to not rouse tensions, the white and black people seem to get along just fine, with the black roles being in servitude to the white roles and seeming very content with their lot in life.
Wow, that's rock bottom. There's only up from there, I guess.
Well, while not always praised for their ethnic diversity, Disney has made efforts to make sure their heroes and heroines are not always Caucasian, as in the case of The Jungle Book, or The Princess and the Frog, and also Aladdin, my favorite, Mulan and Pocahontas. As well, in the animated Disney films, the heroes are both male and female, if not predominantly female. Females in later Disney films are smart, kind, witty and noble, such as Entangled, Beauty and the Beast, and they are giving a good interpretation of female empowerment to young girls.
I think the genie from Aladdin said it best. While transformed into a bee and buzzing beside Aladdin's ear, as Aladdin presents to be a prince in front of Jasmine, just be yourself. Many Disney movies such as Aladdin and The Lion King show children both the importance of being yourself and living up to your responsibilities, as well as knowing that people will like you for who you are, not who you pretend to be.
Yeah, I guess I did always kind of like that message.
I mean, the movies aren't that bad. It's just the company that I don't like. At least I can appreciate their alphas.
You're probably right. We could view them separate from each other, so Disney the company isn't the movies they produce?
That's what I meant the entire time. But you guys have opened my eyes to some of the shady stuff Disney does. I'm just choosing to turn a blind eye to be able to remember my childhood fondly, and I think there's no use in villainizing the movies that shaped me.
Wow, guys, to be honest, I've never viewed Disney as this dubious company. I only focus on the movies and how they were such an inspiration for my own personality. Now I will always separate this problematic company from the beautiful movies they created. Nostalgia rules.
Yeah, it's kind of the death of the author concept from literary analysis.
Even though you inspired me to be more critical of the media I consume, I still think Disney is an important part of pop culture, and we should continue to show them to our children because of the valuable messages those movies convey.
Yeah, I agree. While the monopoly Disney has is definitely scary, the movies themselves have nothing to do with the business dealings behind the scenes. To pick up what Arthur said, nostalgia rules, but to a certain degree.
You're right, I agree, and to a certain degree at least, I can appreciate the movies, but I'll always keep in mind that Disney the company is not as innocent as their movies.
I think we can all agree on that. And with that, thank you guys for indulging me, and thank you to our beautiful listeners for sticking with us.